Bring the mind to the breath, because this is where everything important is happening. You want to be as still as possible so you can catch sight of all these important things happening. Because most often we don't see that there's anything much important here. The breath goes in, goes out. We've got other business to do, so we let it go on automatic pilot. And as a result, we miss a lot of the things that are going on. So when we meditate, we stop to take time and look at this process. John Lee once made the comment that when you have the mind with the breath, you've got all four of the foundations of mindfulness right here. All four of the potential frames of reference that you can use in your practice. There's body, there's feelings, there's mind states, and then there's mental qualities that are either helping or hindering you in seeing what's going on. It's all here. And if you want to see the relationships among these things, you watch right here. You don't watch anywhere else. What are you watching for? Well, you want to see how the mind shapes things. And John Sawat once made the comment that if you're looking for ignorance, you don't have to look very far. Just look at the fabrications of the mind. The principle of dependent core arising says that fabrications are shaped by ignorance, conditioned by ignorance. So if you're wondering where is this ignorance that we're trying to track down, it's right here, where the mind is fashioning things. Fashioning bodily sensations, fashioning mental events. Because from fabrication comes consciousness, and consciousness leads to name and form, physical and mental phenomena. It's worth thinking about. Fabrication, this process of making, comes before the phenomena themselves. Because we hear so often how people shape their reality, how our perceptions tend to filter the ways we see reality, and yet we don't see it in as it's actually happening. And it happens very directly right here, even in your own sense of the body. There are lots of different sensations coming in through the various nerve ends. And the mind has its habits of how it selects among these sensations to present itself with a picture. What's going on? And sometimes the physical sensations get mixed up with the mental sensations. And again, lots of mental information is coming in. And so we select things, block some things out, highlight other things to get a sense of the picture of our mind. The story of our mind, what's going on in here. And there's ignorance underlying all of it. What we're trying to do is replace that ignorance with clear knowing. So this is why we bring the mind to the present moment, so we can watch this process as it happens. Bring it right to that frontier where the body and the mind meet, where mental and physical phenomena meet. The mind watching the breath. Because it's right there that you can see the process of fabrication really clearly, if you look. But first you've got to create the conditions for it to be clear. This is why we practice concentration. We've got to get the mind still and engaged in mastering a skill, because that's when it's easiest to see the mind. When the mind is clearest, when it's aware of what it's doing and aware of what the results are. Even if it's not doing anything at all, you want to be aware of the fact that it's not doing anything and aware of the results of not doing anything. People often talk about how when they're practicing a skill, if they get really good at it, there come times when they get what they call in the zone, where everything seems automatic and even the slightest things become apparent. Whether one with a baseball or one with a bat or one with a basketball. Well, here you want to get one with the breath. Try to get fluent in the breath. Try to get on good terms. Be comfortable. Be familiar with the breath. So there comes a point where it seems like your awareness and the breath become one. Because it's only when we allow them to be one and to stay that way that when they actually begin to separate out through the process of fabrication, you can see it clearly as it happens. So this is why we work with the breath so much, because One, the mind working with the breath puts itself in a good position to observe itself. And then two, by working with the breath, things get calmed down. It's a lot easier to see events in the mind when the breath is very still than it is when the breath is moving all over the place. That's why step number four in breath meditation, after you're aware of the whole body, is you allow what they call bodily fabrication to calm down. That's the breath. You allow the breath to calm down. Try to be sensitive to whatever mechanical ways you have of breathing or unthought out ideas of what the breath should be, because that many times will keep you pumping, 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 when already the body is full of breath energy. It doesn't need much more. It can get by with very little in-breath and out-breath. Now, John Fuang's analogy is of a big water jar. You see these all over town, these enormous jars for catching rainwater off house roofs. And he says there comes a point where the jar is full. No matter how much more it rains, you can't put any more water in the jar. Same with the breath energy in the body. There comes a point where it's full. You're sitting here and it seems perfectly capable of just being there without pumping much in, pumping much out, just the energy around the edges. Try to be aware of that, the sensation of your skin. If you feel any tightness in your skin anywhere, think of it opening up all around you. That allows all those little muscles in the pores to open up a bit, and that allows the breath energy to come in. And as the mind settles down and is still in the midst of all this, you need less and less and less oxygen. It's not that you're stifling the breath or forcing it to stop. It's just getting more and more sensitive to how long the breathing has to be, and you find that naturally gets shorter if you're paying attention. And there may be longer and longer gaps between an in-breath and an out-breath. That's perfectly fine. Until everything gets still. Then there may be a little bit of breathing in and out right at the surface. John Lee's analogy is of the vapor coming off of an ice cube. But otherwise, what you've got here seems to be a big energy field. And it's hard to say whether it's a physical energy field or a mental energy field. It's just an energy field. Learn to stay there for a while, because this is where the interesting things happen. And also, this is where you gain the energy you need. Because you've got the energy flowing around, everything's connected. This is what gives you strength, gives your meditation strength. And it gives you the range in which you can watch the process of fabrication. Just little things seem to stir here, stir there. Sometimes they don't amount to anything, sometimes they catch. And they turn into thoughts, or else they turn into major physical sensations. It depends on which way you interpret them, how you read them. Just this in itself allows you to see how much the mind shapes things. But for the time being, you don't want to follow these things. You want to get good at zapping them. In other words, where there's a slight complication in the energy field, just kind of comb it out. Open it up so it doesn't tighten up into something. Just get good at that again and again and again. Like those cartoon frogs with very long tongues. They sit there and a fly comes by, and no matter which direction the fly comes from, zap, they got the fly. And then the tongue goes back into the mouth. In other words, your center is right here. Wherever you have a sense of being centered in the body. And then your awareness goes out to zap any of those little fabrications as they come. Why do you do this? So you can get clearer and clearer as to how the process of fabrication begins. Where are those points where the mind begins to label things? Ah, this is a thought of the future. This is a thought of the past. This is your arm. This is your leg. This is warmth. This is coolness. This is energy. This is solidity. The mind can choose these things. And once it chooses to give a particular interpretation, it'll find all sorts of evidence elsewhere in that range of your awareness to support it. to provide the context for whatever that perception was. And if you get into those little worlds, you can't see what they're doing, because all of a sudden you've got a different context. You want to maintain this context of this broad awareness on the borderline between what's physical and mental. As you get more and more used to being here, you start seeing a lot of interesting things about the processes of the mind. Because it's those processes that we want to understand, the fabrication, the sankharas the Buddha talks about. Because unless you see very clearly how they happen, there's no way that you're going to find what's unfabricated. Because you keep falling into their little worlds, their little contexts that they create for you. And you miss the processing itself. It's like the difference between watching a TV show and getting involved in the story and watching it to see how the director manipulates things. Because so much of our lives are spent in these stories, it's a good idea to step back and say, well, who's directing this? And how are they directing it? And what skill do they have? How do they draw you in? What's the hook? Make another analogy. It's like learning how to write magazine articles. The editors will tell you in that first sentence, that first paragraph, you've got to have a hook, something to draw the reader in. Otherwise, they don't get into your context. What they're doing is describing the way the mind works, how it hooks itself into a little world and goes with you, takes you wherever it wants you to go. And the raw materials are pretty meager. Just this energy and begins to collect here and clot there, turns into something. Like those little seeds they use to make rain. The water vapor gathers around those little seeds, those little seed crystals, and all of a sudden it turns into a raindrop. And from the raindrop it comes a rainstorm. Without the seed crystals, these things wouldn't coalesce. You have these little seed crystals of fabrication, and then thoughts and other things form around it, and all of a sudden you've got this big storm of thought in the mind. And you don't see this until you learn how to hang around this place, where you're just with the field of energy, which is awareness energy, breath energy. It can turn into any kind of energy depending on how you interpret it. If you hang out here, you start seeing lots of interesting things. Learn a lot about the mind, which is why we use the breath to bring us here, and why we continue using the breath to help us maintain this stance. When John Fogan's students would get to this point in their meditation, that's when he'd have them play with the elements. Because you begin to see a lot of how you sense your body depends on exactly what you focus on. The potential for all four elements is all here throughout this range. Depends on which sensations you're going to focus on, which ones you emphasize. Again, it serves two purposes. One, it gets you really focused in the present moment, helps make it more comfortable being here. And secondly, you see that process of fabrication at work. You've got raw materials here in the present moment, and there's an element of fabrication that shapes them into the experiences you have. You want to see this clearly, again and again and again. So that ultimately you can detect even the most subtle of fabrications and zap those as well. So this is why we're here. To get rid of our ignorance of why there are fabrications going on, why our intentions are constantly shaping things. And see if we can find that spot where you stop the fabrication, not by stomping it out or holding it in suspensions, but there's a point where just there is no intention. The mind gets caught. It knows that no matter which direction it goes, it's going to head towards fabrication, it's going to head towards the results of fabrication. It sees an opening and it goes for it. And that's how this strange practice of just focusing on your breath can lead you to the end of suffering. So you can see the point where the where it's true, and you confirm for yourself what the Buddha taught about there being a deathless element is really true. And that, the Buddha said, is even better than soul dominion over the entire earth. So check and see if that's true, too.